Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Have you ever been afraid? Can you remember a time when you were really afraid? Some of you know, a few years ago, my youngest son, who's here this morning, encouraged me when we were in South Africa to do the highest bungee jump in the world. And I was afraid. Blue Crowns Bridge, South Africa. I have a slight fear of heights. It was a foolish thing to do. I think it was his fault. And I walked across. You had to walk across this metal gangway to get to the platform under the bridge to jump off. And the metal gangway had gaps in it, so you could see down thousands of meters to the bottom of the canyon, because this is a bungee jump where you didn't actually reach the bottom. You were left suspended upside down under the bridge, hundreds of meters above the bottom. It was very, very high. And as I walked, my legs were turning to jelly, and they didn't quite go completely, but I was shaking. And all the way, I was thinking, I've paid good money to do this. And I got to the platform, and if you said to me, would you do it again? I would say, absolutely not. No way, no way, never again. Now, I'm sure we can all think of times when we've been afraid, perhaps through self-inflicted foolishness, like myself, or more seriously, when circumstances have created a series of events that have caused us to fear for our health, our work, our relationships, our family, or even our lives. The disciples were in a place of confusion and fear. Their beloved leader, their rabbi, their friend, had been brutally murdered. And they knew that the authorities, they'd be looking for his followers to make sure that the revolution that he'd been promising did not become a reality. So they were afraid. They were locked away in a room in Jerusalem and had been. And what was going on over those hours since the Friday? Berating one another, maybe, for running away. Not discussing, what do we do next? What happens now? Maybe sitting in the corner, silently weeping. And as it was early morning, after the shock and emotion of the previous 2 days, it's possible some were sleeping. But a brave group of women headed out into a situation of danger and turmoil. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, ventured out early in the morning, before dawn, taking spices to properly prepare Jesus' body, to anoint his body. Now, the other Gospels tell us that Salome and Joanna were also present. And this little group of brave women, despite all that was going on, headed out to go and properly prepare Jesus' body. Now, I imagine they went with heavy hearts. I imagine they were quite fearful of what the guards were going to say to them when they got there. Would the guards even let them see the body? In Mark's gospel, they're asking each other how they're going to move the stone. What's going to happen? We read that they need not have worried, because there was a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. I think our image of angels is actually often completely wrong, because we tend to have angels as sort of fluffy choristers sitting on clouds in their white robes that vicars. You know, you could have seen us all on Thursday dressed as angels. Yeah, and nobody's really particularly afraid of angels. But this angel was terrifying. This angel was awesome. The message of this is, don't mess with angels, because this angel terrified battle-hardened Roman centurions. They'd been used to face-to-face combat, and yet an angel appears and their legs turn to jelly, and it says they shook and they became like dead men. Often when angels appear, they say, don't be afraid. They're terrifying. Yeah, and they said it to the women. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus. And then comes the most significant moment in the history of the world. The best line in the history of the world. You will not ever get a better line than this. He is not here. He is risen. There's nothing can compare to that line and to the significance of those words. He is not here. He is risen. Absorb the power of those words again. Because everything changes in that moment. Everything changes. Despair turns to hope. Life has meaning and purpose again. Could this be true? God's revolution is back on track. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. Those two counter emotions. Afraid yet filled with joy. They'd just met the most terrifying angel, but he'd given them hope. It's almost too good to be true. They still have fear, but they know that God is at work. God is at work. So they're running, and then suddenly Jesus meets them. Greetings, he said. And they came to him, and they clasped his feet and worshipped him. Now notice that they took hold of his feet. You know, this is no mere illusion. This isn't a dream. It's not a hallucination. It's not just a spiritual resurrection. This is a physical resurrection. They took hold of his feet and worshipped him. If you want to undermine Christianity, prove that the resurrection didn't happen. If you want that discussion, I'd be very happy to have it with you. Because this is the center of Christian faith. He is risen. The sacrifice took place on Good Friday, but this means he proved who he said he was. Don't be afraid. Jesus says to them again, do not be afraid. Do you see how fear is going around in this passage? But what Jesus says is, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee where they will see me. Do not be afraid. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus was a realist. He said, in this world you will have trouble, but he was also an eternal optimist. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Our optimism is in the empty tomb. In the face of whatever is going on in our world, whatever is going on in our families, in our lives, we have the optimism, the faith, the hope of the empty tomb. We just need to live as people who believe it's true. Live as people who believe it's true. Do not be afraid. He is risen. This event changed the world. It's the most important moment in history and always will be. This announces, not as a theory, but as a fact, that God's kingdom has come. That the Son of God has been vindicated after his suffering, and that there's a dawning, not just of another day, not just of another week, but it's the start of God's revolution, where we live to see his kingdom come more and more in his world. We do not need to be afraid. We live knowing that the tomb is empty.